This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Now we're going
to
start and do it right.
It's got to be funky.
So look what I found.
There's plenty for everyone.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike!
Josh Schroeder,
Josh!
And Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob!
It's only the beginning.
And now, here's Mike.
Here's when you know your morning is a little pandemonium-like. I dropped my kid off at his bus stop, and the lady that a friend of ours, Kale's mom, that's all I know. I don't know her first name. She's just Kale's mom, says, your flap's open. And I look down at my flap.
Dear.
No, on the side of my car, the charging flap where you'd normally have a gas tank, and it's got the flap, and it's open. We had a great exchange.
Now, when that happens, does all the electricity get out?
No, you can see it leaking out of the car.
Yeah, I was going to say, like little lightning bolts.
And what did she say? She said, oh, man, I get it. We're just struggling to get by. We're hanging in there. I said, we're hanging by our fingernails. Just trying to get the kids to the bus stop at 7 a.m. And it was an interesting morning. Because this involves Josh Sroka. I come across the very first video clip on YouTube where I live now. I think a lot of people do. You live on YouTube. That's
sure.
That's where I get all my stuff. I'm just not where I get all my stuff for the show, but where I'm just relaxing. I'm like, oh, let's see what's on YouTube.
And you know what? It sort of sets the tone for your scrolling. The first one is important.
I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this is not my baseball team, but this is another baseball team. This is my friend and coworker's baseball team, Mr. Soroka.
We had a big game last night. It would make sense to be on the front of your feed.
So I looked and it looks legit. And
feed says, like, Mike likes baseball. This is baseball. Put it on.
This is something that's relevant.
He'll love this.
And I thought it was relevant. And when I say relevant and it's sports, I thought it was relevant to, you know, like the last 24 hours. I don't know. So I'm watching this thing, and then I call Michael over, and it says something. The headline is something like, Orioles have incredible ninth inning. And I'm like, oh, I love ninth inning fun.
Sure.
So I'm watching this, and it shows Yamamoto. I always remember this pitcher for the Dodgers because he's, the same name as the guy that they named an aircraft carrier in World War II.
No relation, though.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
So we were playing the Dodgers?
You're playing the Dodgers.
Okay.
And I don't know who you're playing, so I don't pay attention to it. And I'm watching this, and the first batter that I see in the video hits a home run. And then he goes, well, there goes the no-hitter. I said, oh, it's 3-0. He just hit a home run to break up a no-hitter. That's a big deal.
Sure.
And if they're saying Orioles ninth inning, I said, this is even going to get better. And so they take out Yamamoto because now the no-hitter's obviously throwing 112 pitches.
Yeah.
I said, this is great. Anytime you beat up on the Dodgers. And by the way, Yamamoto is a current pitcher for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this must have been really special. To make a long story short, they come back in, they load the bases with the reliever, and they end up winning the game. They not only bust up the no-hitter with two outs, but
it was a great win.
And I said, wow, I said, I cannot, that's going to be my headline today. Josh is going to be bouncing off the walls. And
sure.
I'm going to say, I'm processing this for the show saying, I wonder how much of this clip we can play. I said, I think it might be worth playing the entire ninth inning because it's that special.
So
but
you were so into it. You thought totally this is the way to go. Yeah.
The guy was one out from throwing a no-hitter.
And then
this
they
was West
say,
Coast baseball.
And then they say something like, it's a crazy September.
Oh,
and
no.
I said,
oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
And how was it last year or the year before?
You're only a year off. September 6th, 2025.
Less than a year old. To the same. And my son goes, "Dad, you're an idiot." And I'm off. And I realize, but I knew that if I brought it up, I knew you would remember that. That has to be one of the greatest wins the Orioles have ever had, and it was at Camden Yards, right?
I thought that was in LA.
It was in a way because Camden Yards was going crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so it was a home game.
It was a home game for the Orioles.
Yeah. There it is. I remember it because it's one of those games where you start to shut it off, and then you'll get a text because I text nonstop through baseball games.
Who with?
My dad and my brother.
Is it a group text or do you separate?
No, it is a group text.
Okay.
That is nonstop. And if you don't hear anything by like the second inning, there's a little text reminder saying, you know, there's a game on.
This tradition started.
My apologies for those of you that, we did update. We did make that change.
We just didn't tell anyone.
We just didn't tell anyone. Sorry about that. So,
but if you want to listen at 3:15, the show will be posted then.
You can do that as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have last-minute adjustments in the schedule. It's one of the things that makes us us. Sorry about that. Our sincere apologies. Speaking of texting, text your friends. Text your neighbors and let them know we're doing this live now. All right? So you can make sure. My apologies for that. But we're talking about schedules right now, right? I mean, it's crazy fun
now,
with baseball.
Well, speaking of schedules apart from baseball, you're 2 weeks into the school year. How is Michael's morning routine? Is he still enthusiastic about going to school or has it gotten to the point where it's a drag?
You know what I process, Rob, is that... the scheduling, God bless these little crumb crunchers.
Yeah.
If you're looking at his schedule, he has, since school began, he has missed tryouts because they had weather delays for the golf team. He is now trying out again today for the golf team. He broadcast the varsity football game Friday night. He had a baseball practice at the baseball field last night. Tomorrow night, he will, or is it tonight? I believe it's tonight. Tonight, he will go to the indoor facility for baseball practice. This is on the heels of his golf tryout. He is seemingly enjoying school. He's already had a test in math, I think. No, history. Did well on it. But it's
did the history test, did it talk about that Orioles game?
It said, can he read a schedule?
No wonder you're retiring. You have to drive him all over the place.
Exactly.
And last night was fun to watch because I am getting the sense that these coaches really want the parents at arm's length. Now that they're 13, and I get that. You want
do you
it to
dig
be.
That?
I do. Well, I dig the fact that they are, they're treating the kids more like adults now, and they're tougher on them. Mm-hmm. And, the coaches are very much giving us the vibe of, this isn't daddy ball anymore. This is coaching time. And I'm fine with that. And they have a new facility. And they couldn't repeat it enough that please drop the kids off. There's not enough room in the facility to have all the parents in there. And they're making it really clear. But if they told us once, that's all we needed. They didn't need to tell us 10 times.
I don't think it's about being harder on the kids. I think it's about stopping the parents' influence. Stopping the parents outside the cage telling the kid what to do. That's wrong because that parent doesn't know.
And could it also be partially, I know sports is sports and you play to win, you play because it's physical exercise and all that, but also when you play organized sports, it's part of growing up. And you have to take on responsibilities and learn teamwork. And I guess they probably, once you get the parents out of it, it helps them to mature.
Yeah, just like theater arts. There you go.
I love the fact that Michael's off book for the game today. I think
off
that's great.
I love that expression. I will say this, that I was not aware of outside of games when there was a little tension at practices, it was always kind of just sitting down and watching, I never saw a lot of parents that would be diving in, but I'm fine with all of it. And I love the coaches that he has. I've always enjoyed the coaches. I think the people that do this by and large are terrific people.
How does he feel about you not being there? Because I remember when Robert was playing basketball, he was probably 13 when he was in the league.
13's the age we're talking about here.
And he would, and I was not a hands-on, screaming, you know, really involved parent in that emotional level. But he'd say, Dad, please don't come in for practice. Dad, please don't come in. He did not even want me there, even though I was quiet and well-behaved.
I think the you're absolutely right, and the kids are
No way you were quiet and well-behaved, though.
I was.
Not quiet. Well, not quiet.
Yeah, I was. What am I going to do, yell about basketball? I don't understand the game.
You're not. The thing about, you know, Michael, he's a normal 13-year-old. He just, he's perfectly content to get dropped off and do
his
own thing.
That's good.
You know, and I think most kids are exactly that same way. Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what it is. Now,
so it doesn't hurt your feelings.
No, okay, I'm fine. I like watching the practices and the games, so I'll still be doing that. And I, to be honest with you, it's kind of pandemonium when they do an indoor practice at the other place.
Is that why you put a Ring camera in the facility?
I just don't like it's it's nuts. I don't like being around it. I really don't. All right, so Steve Kelce posted on Facebook this past week an article, and I guess it's official now, from Inside Radio. Let me get my specs, because I'm old. That's what this article
Inside Radio,
about,
is that the new Bible? Has that replaced Radio and Records, or is Radio and Records still a thing?
I don't have
I think Inside Radio is an online presence, I think.
It's online, and it says the most trusted news in radio.
Oh, well, then I absolutely trust them.
All right, so let me go back
here. Rob, did they reach out to you for a quote as well?
They wanted actually a quote about my retirement, and they were very disappointed to find out I was sticking around. As a matter of fact, there was tears. There were tears.
I'm trying to find this thing.
I like that for the article, they just went to Mike's Facebook page and stole his profile picture. And
is said, that what they did? Work. Yeah.
It says here, longtime Washington radio host Mike O'Mara, who jumped into podcasting with the Mike O'Mara Show in 2009, has announced his retirement after 46 years behind the microphone. On the podcast's latest episode, which is number 3,596. I think we take that number for granted, don't
we? That's wrong. I mean, today is 3701.
Okay.
We broke off a new hundo yesterday. We went to 3,700 episodes.
I had no idea.
We skipped 100 somewhere.
No, I don't think our math is right.
I think they were at 3,696.
You mean with the when I made the announcement?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, so they screwed that up.
You know what they did? They didn't hit most recent on your Facebook page.
Number 3596 is incorrect. O'Mara says he will retire in January after he hosts one final listener cruise that he is dubbing the final voyage. The last, quote, the last few years in our medium, just like in a lot of broadcasting, radio and digital, has been extremely tough, O'Mara told listeners. But he says the support of the show's audience kept it going. It has been a joy to do this show. That is the absolute truth. O'Mara, who started in radio in 1980.
That's Mike. That's funny. Yeah. It's really cute.
I look at that date. This is when you know you're old. I don't think of that as that long ago.
You know what? I agree with you. If they had said 1979, which is 12 months earlier, 1979 seems like an eternity ago. 1980 seems like, oh, yeah, I remember 1980. Well,
right.
As the kids say, the 1900s.
I hate when they say that.
1980 says he came to the decision after realizing just how long he'd been doing it. That's true. Mm-hmm. I realized that I had my name on a show in one form or the other, in one medium or the other, for 46 years. He says it's time. I say it's time. He took over the longtime Don and Mike show after Don Geronimo retired in 2008, launching the Mike O'Mara Show on WJFK FM Washington with several members of the former show's cast. The program remained on WJFK until 2009, when the station dropped it as part of its switch to an all-sports format. Rather than end the show, O'Mara moved it to a podcast in 2009 with Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana joining him as regular co-hosts. The podcast also gained a broadcast outlet for a time, as the show was picked up by Talk, the mighty 1630 KCJJ.
What? I think we got some CB interference there.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. a former Don and Mike Show affiliate. When O'Meara began podcasting, he didn't expect it would become his primary outlet. Quote, we started it in 2009. I really expected it to be a side hustle, and that side hustle has continued for 17 years, which blows me out of the water. He says it was a backup plan to being back on the radio. O'Meara continued to make periodic returns to traditional radio. No, I only made one.
Right? Maybe they're referring to your guest spots up in Baltimore.
Okay, that might be.
I mean, that is a return to
that was fun.
Radio.
I liked doing that up at 98 Rock. He teamed with Kurt McEwen for mornings on Classic Rock 105.9 The Edge, VRX in Washington in 2010, remaining there until that station changed formats a year later. The Mike O'Meara Show returned to Washington radio in January 2013 with an evening slot on Talker WTNT while continuing as a podcast.
I almost forgot about our WTNT
I completely forgot about that.
Wow.
Weren't we on after Laura Ingram?
It was the guy from WMAL who said stuff was a good outfit. They were a good outfit. What was his name?
Chris Plant?
No. Andy something, maybe?
Parks?
No, not Andy Parks. Oh, God, why can't I think of it?
Richter?
He was not Andy Richter. Maybe it
Poland.
Wasn't. It was a guy that came after Harden and Weaver and sort of tried to continue in that vein and was horrible. Just an old man.
Let's see. The final podcast taped before a live audience aboard the show's listener cruise during the weekend of January 21st, 2027. The cruise has been renamed the Final Voyage, and O'Meara makes clear the retirement announcement is not a promotional gimmick. And I'm here to tell you that I do plan to continue doing
You've emphasized the fact that this is not the end of the road.
What
did they not mention
doing
it in the article at all? Because,
no,
I mean, that's
no.
sort
and
of
I
the...
haven't, I, by the way, I have plenty of time to put it all together, which I am doing right now. And it will be shorter form interviews with people that I want to talk to, and that's it, and that's all it's going to be. It's not going to be different outfits.
Your outfit of the day.
So that's what it's going to be, and that came to me. I had a couple of things. I said, well, I'll do an online thing, which is just like the little TikToks. And I said, that's not me. What I've cherished in my career and not done enough of, in my humble opinion, and I love doing it, are interviews. And I'm not talking about exclusively with people that are in show business, but in all walks of life. And I'm talking about one of the things I've learned in 46 years of broadcasting is that everybody has a story.
Yeah.
And I'll be sitting in a restaurant with a friend going out to dinner that I don't know enough about, and I'll do an interview there because I love hearing people's stories. Mm-hmm. And the thing you find out, two things that have become indelibly clear to me at my advanced age, and one is that you never, and you've seen this on bumper stickers, you never know how bad a day somebody's having or what their story really is.
True.
And the other thing is everybody does have a story, and everybody has, worth and interest. And I think that I don't confine the interview process to simply people who are celebrities or people with, in the media or in sports. I'm talking people that might have a good story, and that story might involve what they've been through. I'll give you an example. If Rob was not a radio personality, and I sat down and talked to Rob.
That's easy to imagine.
But if you weren't, I would sit down and talk to you, and I would be fascinated to know about what you really went through when your son, and what it was like to be a parent that had a son with pediatric leukemia, and what you went through during all that. That's a big part of your story.
Yeah,
you know?
I was actually thinking about that today. I mean, that it seems like a million years ago, and it seems like yesterday.
Right.
But yeah, and we've worked together a long time, and I've learned a lot of things from you, and I hope you've maybe even picked up some stuff from me. That's optimistic, I know, but Your whole notion of everybody having...
Well, I learned
having...
about when you were screaming at me yesterday, I learned about Elvis.
Don't say anything bad.
And how, you know, and how valuable Elvis is.
I'm passionate about Elvis.
Oh, by the way, so I came in today and I said, Rob's not doing the posts for the show. And I'm like, he's slacking off because, you know, we're at the end game here. And I was wrong about that. But boy, do you have a protective eagle in your nest with your buddy over here. You're talking
it's
about...
not protective.
Hold on. Let me finish, and then I'll let you speak. It's a give and take. But boy, he defends you.
He eagled in on it. He really
did. He never
did.
Defends me. Yeah. Mike, ever.
No, but, it's, I know your paranoia.
Okay. All right.
So I know that you're thinking we don't care.
I'm thinking, you know, I would say that, you know, you are spot on with the paranoia. And I think even the best of us might be, have a little taste of that when you're in that lame duck stage of, but me, you know, I have it when I'm not in a lame duck. I have it when I wake up and have breakfast, yes. You know?
But it did flip me out because it is part of my process and I'm very methodical. I'm OCD in that way. Yeah. And so when it wasn't popping up on your screen, it bothered me. So I'm glad that we figured out why it wasn't popping up.
Yeah. The thing about and I came to this very recently because I was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to do a little funny thing? No, I don't want to do that.
But to finish my thought, I just want to say, what you've taught me is that everybody does have a story. And even if it's a short interaction with someone in an elevator or you're seated next to someone in an airplane or any situation, if you are open and provide an ear and get them to talk, that's the most fascinating way to talk to people. Find out their story. Be a listener.
And really I've learned is that my from favorite you. Part of yeah. what I do, mm-hmm. what I've done. It really is. I mean, you would think that maybe I would talk about having an impression that goes over. That's a fleeting joy. I get much more satisfaction out of interesting people I've talked to. Mm-hmm. We go back and I remember an author we had, Johan Hari, who was talking about chasing the scream and heroin addiction, the opioid mm-hmm. crisis yeah. and heroin addiction. And he was really fascinating. I still remember things he said about it and about the social conditions that people go through yeah. and the lack of hope people go through. And it's just, I retain that. I don't retain the reaction when I did James Gandolfini the first time on the show. That brings me joy, and I love that. But what I really, would like to, I love the idea of listening to people tell a few more stories about their lives. Mm-hmm. And so, we're getting that together and figuring out how it's going to work, and we'll see where it is down the road. Now, I know people are curious about you two going forward and what your plans are, and I don't even know if you're ready to talk about it yet or what you think you may do. I don't have anything to do with it, so I'm not part of it. So I'm not part of the discussion.
We are interviewing people in our lives.
Yeah, just short-form interviews where we find out people's stories.
You two are assholes, and I asked that question, Lee.
Well, no, I will start with this.
Doug says, will Rob still be booking these interview guests?
Yes, absolutely. You'll get as many interviews in the new format as you do in the current. I think that the thing we need to lead with is something that I think you will appreciate, which is Josh and I will continue doing a daily podcast.
Awesome.
But I think you're going to like the name of it.
Yes. Oh, you've named it.
Yes.
All right.
Still talking.
That's hysterical.
It works.
Yeah, it really does. It's still talking with Spiewak and Sroka. So
that's fantastic. Did you lock that name up? I hope.
Long before we announced it.
All right,
we're ready to go.
Sure. I have a name, but I can't do it because we haven't done that.
Haven't locked it down yet.
You know, but that's great. So I know that people are happy. I just wanted to confirm that. I think when I made my announcement, we all kind of refer to the fact that we were going to continue in one way or the other. My the difference between these two younger men and me is the daily factor. I will
Thank
not be doing a daily
for calling us younger.
I will not be doing a daily podcast. Now, by the way, yesterday somebody pointed out to me that when you did the stand-up game, that you started on your knees.
No, that's a lie.
You were on your butt.
I went down all the way.
You didn't see it either. You didn't see it either, Mother Eagle.
No. But also, I mean, what can you?
I'm getting on my knees now.
What can you actually say to prove it if it wasn't on camera? Except my good word.
No. But your whole body wasn't on camera.
Well, I will say this: I am not proud of my performance yesterday, and the fact that I went from the ground to standing to me is really sort of tangential to the fact that it was as hard as it was to do. So I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I stuck to the rules. I barely made it.
I'm so bad that I don't know if I'll ever be able to accomplish that.
That might be a good for your interview show, is you start every show by getting up without using your hand.
Well, I think that's the new title. Yes. Getting off the ground.
No, that will not be the title, but thank you. Let's see. Is Mike going to do his interviews in a fat suit? By the way, man, I was wondering
what your story is, boy.
I've been getting more and more. I don't know how much content he generated as Jiminy Glick.
Yeah.
But Marty Short with, some of the moments are just
so spectacular.
The lost moments
that you really have to seek out are he actually did a Jiminy Glick show on Comedy Central, I believe it was, that is really hard to find. I don't think it's streaming or anything. And that's when they would really go overboard with some of the bits because they had the budget and the time. One of the all-time great moments was, you know, Dave Thomas from the McKenzie Brothers, SCTV and all that, has pretty much, I think, the best Bob Hope impression there is. Bob Hope recognized it when he was alive.
I find it difficult to find words to describe it. It's so good. It captures the coldness of Bob Hope.
Aloofness,
The aloofness of Bob Hope and just how his comedy was. I mean, we were mocking Bob Hope
before he was truly mockable.
Before he got into the, it's old Jack Frost. Because it was just this. The prepackaged, apparently Johnny Carson did not like
Hated him.
Because he was so pre-done with the
And also
writers.
He could walk on whenever he wanted, and that's one of the reasons why, sort of as a real subtle dig, Johnny called him Robert. What are you doing here, Robert?
Robert.
Dave Thomas, he did all manners of Bob, all eras of Bob, and to a point where, as I said, Bob Hope recognized it. At one point, this is a great story, not really related, but it's worth telling. He was on the set of Grace Under Fire. That was one of Dave Thomas's TV jobs.
Right.
The Brett Butler show. And he got a call. He said, Bob Hope wants to see you. And he said, okay, I'll go over it during the lunch break. And he went to Bob Hope's house, and they showed him up to, like, Bob's bedroom suite in Toluca Lake. And Bob comes in the room, and he says, Dave Thomas, what are you doing here? After he had invited him. And Dave Thomas was reverential enough to cover and say, you know, I was in the neighborhood, I wanted to see you. So they had a relationship. But
have we played the interview segment with Dave Thomas's Bob Hope, where it's on SCTV? Have you seen that?
I've seen them all, yeah.
But it's really terrific.
He did one where he's talking on the the Sammy Maudlin show about I owe Pay King $300. It was like a documentary. Wacky. But so on this episode of Jiminy Glick, he does Bob Hope again. But the only time I ever saw him do like truly aged Bob Hope, where they've like made red under his eyes.
I would love to see
And they
see
made
that.
Him shuffle his feet. And I mean, and the impression is still dead on.
I would love to see
But it
that.
Was, I really it would. Was almost sad how great it was. But,
best.
Yeah, if you prowl around on YouTube, you see a lot of like grainy VHS copy of the
Martin Short SCTV show. Videos are just such crap quality.
Well, they've I think Netflix has secured some of them, and the Masters will be streaming soon on SCTV.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's good news, yeah.
You know, the sensitivity of the people in our chat group never fails to amaze me. From Daniel Thurber, heading out to pasture, you big old Irish D-bag.
Oh, that's
we
nice.
Are seriously going to miss you, Mike. These two will do well, but keep an eye on them, please. Yeah, I most definitely will. I would love to come back and visit with you guys as well.
Open invitation.
The thing, it's just, this is, I'm not dumb enough to think that I'm not going to need a little occasional outlet. That's fine. But it will not be like, when Johnny said you'll see something else and then you never did.
Right.
I would like to do this. I am still honing and refining what it would the way it would be, but it'd be short form and not daily. So
I was hoping you'd go with the dice route.
Would just like just go around in places in New around. York and show up.
Want to take a picture?
Yeah, unfortunately,
that is funny. But you'd need John Lovitz to hang with.
Well, I also think the level of fame you have to.
Well, that
you
makes
have
it
to
even
be
better.
A little. You have to be a little bit more famous. And dice is, it's like, you know who I am with my big glasses.
You want to take a picture with Dicey?
But anyway, so hopefully we have covered it with that. And
more details to come, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing Larry Pennington videos when Carl and I are getting ready to go out to Buckets to have the five-wing French fry special.
Well, and you'll dress for Buckets, right?
Yeah, I'll dress. I'm wearing and let's see what Carla has on tonight.
Said Carla and not Michael.
Yeah, let's see what Carla has on. All right, she's wearing activewear. There you go.
Nice.
I'm wearing a golf shirt, a Greg Norman golf shirt, and some very nice Greg Norman shorts. Why so much Greg Norman? Well, it's quite easy. We have an outlet store 5 minutes from my house.
Don't forget you would have to cover your underwear as well, based on yesterday's show.
Okay, it's coming in. I don't know why it's taking so long.
Right.
But I ordered another batch, and it's going to be coming in September 8th. Why do I have to wait that long for my good? And I
was sure Mike, this year?
The silkworms are starting to work on it right now.
My underwear, I can tell you the brands that are in there. I have Calvin Klein that I think I picked one of those up at the Cost Company.
Yeah.
Then I've got some Nikes. I think the Nikes made it into my drawer, but they're really for my son. Then I've got Fruit of the Loom.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got Hanes. I've got old Hanes boxers, and I haven't worn boxers since I took the weight off. But
now,
what
you
I
actually
do,
got
yes.
those the Hanes stuff you got from your old newsman, right? David Hanes.
Yeah.
Who made a fortune in underwear.
Oh, I thought Bush just left it behind.
It fits on one leg. That's where I want to do... Our whole mode right now is thinning things out.
Yeah.
Anybody, that's been in the same house for a while. We're trying to lean things up. Today, after I get done taping our shows today, I am going to eagerly await my garage shelf organizer. That's got the little places where I can put the battery-operated power tools.
Is it like
a shop
shelf at all?
It's
like a heavy
shop shelf. It is going.
They'll change your life. They're the greatest.
But I am concerned because the wall on the far side of the garage is not the cinder block wall.
Right.
It is a wall-anchored wall. So hopefully that will. But I don't think I'm going to have a problem if I put enough good wall anchors.
Yeah,
just find a stud and you'll be fine. You'll be good.
Yeah, I've always been looking for a stud, Josh. But
look no further.
I have trouble. I have trouble with the studs.
Is it you that are looking for it or Carla?
Probably Carla. Oh, yeah. I got a. You know what? Happy Valley. I got a hug yesterday, which was really something I've never experienced.
Like, was it a lovely hug or more
a guy
like
was
a mafia a guy, thing?
A guy was going up north.
Yes.
And wasn't going to see me, my last day being Saturday at Happy Valley. Things come in bunches when I change things around.
Sure.
And so it was kind of touching. And
that's nice.
Being my political bent, it's been gratifying to have these fascists really, truly show me some love.
You know what? I think they appreciate you being an opponent and being a fun opponent. That's probably part of it. Now,
I hope so.
I don't know. I can't speak to the quality of this, but this is on YouTube, Mike. I'd like for you to watch just a taste of this.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right,
you know, there are a lot. You're making it sound like there's not much going on up in
Canada. Glick is interviewing Levy.
A pretty terrific country. It has a lot going on.
Oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe it! Bob Hope is with us, ladies and gentlemen! Oh my goodness!
How are you? This is Eugene Levy.
How are you, sir?
Oh, my goodness.
How are you?
Hey, how are you, Cat?
Please sit down, Mr. Levy.
Well, where? You're on your two chairs.
Now sit right down here.
Sit down.
Eugene, you sit on me.
No, I'm not going to sit.
Why don't you sit right here?
Sit on me.
Right here. Sit. You sit right here. Are you comfortable?
I didn't think Oliver and Hardy were working anymore.
Oh, this is very exciting. I can't believe the real Bob Hope is here. This
so
is wonderful.
Understated.
You are such
so perfect. Yeah.
What have I done?
Boy, they hit heavy on the old man Megan.
That's right, of course.
Yeah.
Mr. Hope, what brings you to our stage in a surprise sort of way?
And if I can, I'd come by and plug my special.
What is the special you're doing?
Now, we're doing a big 100th birthday special at an Edwards Air Force Base where they're going to set off the government is going to set off a 20 kiloton bomb in my honor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And this is the kid from that movie, the kid movie.
And his name is Eugene
Levy.
Levy.
I didn't even see your
movie. All right, that's enough of that. That's awesome.
That is so great.
That is, oh my God, I've never seen it. I mean, you know I'm watching that today. I'm going to watch that in its entirety. All right, we're up on a break. We're going to take a break. We got tidbits coming up. There's so much we have today.
Too much.
I just don't know how to prioritize it. That's my job, is to put that in the thing. I think we may have to go with the classic Bavarian sport.
I think you're going to enjoy it.
Bavaria in it. That's later on in the show. But tidbits coming up. We'll be back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you like movies? Sure you do. Who doesn't? But do you feel that you need to bone up on your knowledge of classic motion pictures? You want to fix that? But where do you start? The fix is Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks, the podcast about Rob's movies. Every week, join our own Josh Soroka as he watches a classic movie hand-selected by his co-host Rob Spiewak. Rob tries to convince Josh why the movie is great, and sometimes he succeeds, but not always. So, whether it's a comedy, a horror, a western, a musical, color, or black and white, watch the movie in advance and listen in. You might learn something. You might disagree, but you will enjoy yourself. So, treat yourself. Become a Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Pixie. Just visit HicksNicksStickspicks.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend, subscribe, give it 5 stars, buy a billboard, hand out flyers, do all the things. By the way, the name is great. Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks.
There it is.
Good name.
Coming soon, Sunset Boulevard, currently showing, Mike, Chinatown, which I think everyone will enjoy. Great movie.
Chinatown's I mean, it's not one of the real ancient ones.
No.
It's in color. It's
Josh
in Technicolor.
Josh had never seen it.
Do you like Chinatown, right? That's a great movie.
He did. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good one. All right, let's start today with Canada. Canada, it makes my heart hurt. This makes my heart hurt. It really does. I'm not happy with this. Canada's firing back in the trade fight with the United States. I don't know why we are picking on Canada, but we are picking on Canada. At least our government is.
We really shouldn't say we.
Yeah.
Because it ain't you and me.
No.
Are they still becoming a state?
Canada's a state?
That's your boy's plan.
It'd be a pretty big state, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, with this firing back trade war thing, it could hit American consumers. Canadian officials are preparing new measures in response to U.S. trade action, adding another layer to the economic fight between the two countries. The big question is whether this turns into another round of tariffs that eventually show up in the price of everything from groceries to cars. And also the tiger, little... Denny Lee.
You know, we probably would have paid a tariff on that clip we just played because Dave Thomas and Eugene Levy and Martin Short.
And Martin, all Canadian.
All Canadian. That's Canadian comedy right there.
And, of course, there are rumors floating around that Trump wants to name Lake Ontario Lake America.
Which is no good because then the Great Lakes don't spell Holmes anymore. That's the way you remember it. It would be Hames.
That's how you studied it in school.
Well, that's I majored in that at VCU, is memorizing the Great Lakes. I got a master's.
Is that your own, or did, was
no,
that
no,
a,
that was I learned that actually from Diana Sillman, because one of the screening questions for Low Budget Jeopardy back in the old days to see if people had anything on the ball was name all of the Great Lakes.
So,
and if you think of homes,
it's Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to know it.
Boy, I'd love to know where she got that. That's terrific. That's a great way to study. I love those things. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, a little more Dolly Parton news. Mm-hmm. So sad yesterday. It was a sad show yesterday talking about Dolly. She died Tuesday at the age of 80, and the tributes are pouring in from just about every corner of entertainment. Parton wasn't just a country music star. She was a songwriter. She was an actor, businesswoman, philanthropist. She sold more than 100 million records. Her imagination library has also put hundreds of millions of books in the hands of children. Taylor Swift, Paul McCartney, Beyonce, and many others have been paying tribute to Dolly, and why not? We did the same thing yesterday.
When you see someone, when you see the celebrities really come out in force, though, do you in your mind mentally separate them into people that are really offering sympathy and those that are trying to marry themselves to the
tragedy?
No,
and let me tell you why. Because I think people reacted to this passing like we did yesterday. It didn't matter. Dolly is, these celebrities do not come along very often.
You're right.
Where they are so iconic. You can't put them in the same. Can't put Taylor Swift in that category because Taylor Swift has way too many with the Kelsey and all that.
I think it's almost to a point where the environment we're in now, you almost couldn't produce a celebrity the way Dolly was when she
probably
passed.
Not. It would be. But she was very much iconic for a good chunk of the modern era. So
mentioned yesterday Dollywood in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
And I just happened on this clip on my show. I was going to run this during Beautiful Video, but I'd like to run it now. Noted NBC journalist Peter Greenberg talked to her at Dollywood. And this is not only
that the travel guy for NBC.
Yeah, it's not only charming and cute. It's a beautiful piece, and it really shows what was the motivation, which we talked about a little bit yesterday.
Oh, I'd love to see this
behind building the park.
That's one of our roller coasters. The kids love that, but I don't ride them.
Me neither.
Because I have too much to lose, like my hair. Lord knows what could spill out on me. But I'm like my daddy. I'm country. I don't want no higher up than pulling corn and no lower down than digging taters, as my dad used to say.
Did you ever have a dream that this would happen?
Well, yes. I used to think that if I ever got to be a star, I would love to build something great in this area to honor my family, something lasting.
But honor
to
your
also,
home, too.
And my home. But to also provide jobs for a lot of the people up here. And it's really, we've done really, really well. And it's just gone beyond my wildest dreams.
You're an industry.
Yes, we are. But life's been good to me. God's been good to me. And so it's been a wonderful thing.
That's
lovely,
a great
isn't
clip.
It?
That's it. And we talked about it yesterday, how she's done that. I think that I want to reiterate what I said yesterday about that valuing of her privacy. I think that is what it is. I think when you lay too much of you out there and not your persona that you want the people to see, that's where you get into that's where you lose your beloved stock. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but Dollywood, everything she did was always for the people. It was always for her fans. It was always, that's the Dolly you got always.
It was such a horrible way to have that news delivered yesterday. Just, I mean, crushing. And last night at dinner, Carrie says, did anyone figure out what killed Hayden Panettiere? I said, no, and it doesn't matter anymore because Dolly's taken all her thunder.
The thing about Dolly Parton that sticks with me is how difficult it was in the modern era.
Yeah.
She succeeded at it, but how difficult and the discipline you would have to maintain that wall.
Yeah.
Between your private life, right?
You
got to really work at it.
I would say strength beyond discipline because you've got pressure from every angle, good and bad. I mean, I'm sure there were people out there that wanted to help her remultiply her fame by saying, you need to talk a little bit about, say, your husband or your family or whatever. And she said, no.
Can you ever remember a story where Dolly was here or there or, you know, there were gossip stories about her on occasion.
Yeah, but always short-lived and never with any meat behind it.
No meat. That's exactly right. Yeah. So anyway, that's Dolly Parton.
Still sad today about it when you see the, because this is when the morning shows had a chance to really like prepare their packages.
Yep.
And you know, they can be so jive, and even the jive ones about her are just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've never been, right? Neither one of you have ever been to Dollywood?
No, my mom has some years ago. And Mark Riddell, theme park enthusiast beyond all, loved it. He would go down there and look for ideas that he would take back to his theme park.
Very, very
He'd
cool.
He loved the way they ran it. So someday I'll get down there. I'd love it.
Rest in peace, Dolly Parton, again. Simon Cowell missed this week's live episode of America's Got Talent because he is undergoing back surgery. Cowell has been dealing with problems related to that 2020 bicycle accident.
I remember that.
Oh, no. Look at that. It's Simon Cowell. Let's knock him off our bike. Terry Crews, he of the muscle-bound men, he told viewers the procedure was routine, and Cowell is expected back in a few weeks. I've dealt with back pain. It's not
Terry
fun.
Terry Crews was the president in Idiocracy, was he not?
I believe he was, yes. Mm-hmm. He does that thing with his biceps where he
I do that.
Jake Williams.
After I get up without using my hands.
Meanwhile, the show had a teenage singer get a golden buzzer. That's a good thing, right? When they get the golden buzzer.
Sounds like it.
And another act that was described as part body horror, part comedy.
How are we missing this show every week, Mike? It sounds sensational.
What is body horror?
You're looking at it.
Is that where people like put the horns in their head or something?
Maybe,
like that?
Or the big, what do they call those, gauges in their ears, maybe?
The big earrings?
The rings, yeah.
Josh, can you look up body horror? I don't know what it is. Yes.
And get ready for your metrics to look great the next time you go on social after you Google body horror.
Put that up on the headline for the show. Maybe that'll generate a little heat for us, a little body horror. You know, I have no idea what it is. It sounds gross, though, is what it does. The baseball season continues to get weird. The Arizona Diamondbacks came back from a 4-0 deficit against the Cubs and won 5-4 on a 2-run walk-off home run by rookie Ryan Waldschmidt.
Let me hear ya.
Yeah, there you go. It might be. It could be. It is a home run. That happened in the ninth. Well, of course, that's why it's a walk-off, for Christ's sake. The Guardians, Cleveland's Guardians, not the Indians.
Nay, Indians, Mike.
Also came back from 5 runs down to beat the Angels in 10 innings, while the Mets needed extra innings to beat Milwaukee. So basically, if your team has a lead, don't go to the bathroom. And the Red Sox were involved in a late inning, extra inning game, too. A lot of that going on. It's the dog days. The dog days. A lot of this is happening in baseball. So pay attention. How are your birds doing, Josh Soroka?
13-1 win last night. So pretty good. Hanging in there.
Wow.
Well, you know, he took a little toot with that answer. There.
Didn't he?
Like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, oh, you know, 13-1. You know,
13-1. Looking pretty good.
It's not upsetting the Dodgers in the ninth.
It was so good, Mike, they bought the guy a brand new hose.
Boyds.
The Boyds.
All right. Here's a great AI story. Shield AI's autonomous software has now flown in orbit, controlling a satellite during a test of autonomous space operations. And for some reason, I want to say that like autonomous space operations.
I like it. I like how you say it.
The idea is that AI could eventually handle more of the decision-making involved in space missions without waiting for instructions from Earth. We have officially reached the point where you can say the satellite flew itself.
This is so wrong. You know what's going to happen is they're going to hit a wrong button because AI told them to, and like a planet will explode.
Yeah.
And you go back to AI and said, hey, you just made a planet explode. And
the space AI will, laser.
And the AI will say, oh, you're right. I was wrong. I should be more careful in the future. Well, you know, it just, I can't trust AI to help me repair a car door, really. So at this point, I'm not sure it's ready to go into outer space.
I think that we are so unaware of satellite technology as average Americans that, you know, if the laser came from the sky one day
yeah.
and burned us all, did we ever find out what body horror was, Joshua Soroka?
Everyone's calling it body horror, so I've been skimming the video from last night.
Right.
It is like sword swallowing.
Oh,
and like cutting an
apple with a chainsaw when it's in someone's mouth and stuff.
Okay,
it's,
I get it. It's sword play.
It sounds to me more like party tricks.
Well, all I know is on the Final Voyage cruise in January, you're going to see all of that. That's just the way that's
going to
go.
And our final podcast will be brought to you via satellite.
Yes. Yeah. We won't be there on the boat.
We will not be there. It'll just be 3D holographic images of us on the boat.
But they're not going to be the average AI videos. They're going to be the ones like Disney used in the animatronics. You know? Hi. Thanks for coming.
Welcome to the Carousel of Podcasting.
Thanks for coming on the show. There you go.
There's almost 4,000 episodes of the Mike O'Mara Show. I bet AI could recreate a new episode.
That's scary.
That is horrifying.
If you uploaded it all up.
It's very, very scary. You know, I bet it does everything now. So, but I don't have to, you know, Michael knows how I feel about stuff. So I don't have to do, you know, hello, Michael, you're 18 now. I don't need to.
What if we did start creating AI episodes of this program? How long before people noticed? And I'm talking video and everything. I mean, it has to generate our images to talk. And
All right, here we go. Okay. I think that before the end of the line here, we figure out, and it can't be audio. It can't be audio alone. It's got to be
video.
It's
got to have the video, yeah.
We do like a 10-minute AI, totally AI segment.
Yeah, and let AI even choose the topic.
I mean, look at the intros when Josh does the pirate show.
I know, that's great. I know.
Josh, why are you eating gold coins again? Why are you doing that? I don't
understand. Mike, I am pleased to inform you that there was a 13-1 victory last night in Memorial Stadium. Don't you mean Camden Yards? Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. That
absolutely.
Was wrong.
Hey, we have to go now. All right. Finally, this one is peak Florida. Here we go. A 23-year-old man was arrested after police say he molested a manatee statue. Outside of a Florida bar.
Manatee? Like the big ocean creature?
Manatee. Yeah. Like the big fat ocean thing.
If you got to do a fish, that's not the one.
So he goes outside. I guess he's, fake humping a manatee statue, probably?
Or real humping.
Yeah. It's Florida. He then threw gator nuggets into the bar.
Gator nuggets. A delightful treat.
Deputies, this might surprise you. Deputies say the guy was drunk.
No.
And after the manatee incident, he apparently decided the next logical move was to start launching fried alligator meat into the restaurant. He was arrested, and somewhere in Florida, there is a manatee statue that now needs some emotional therapy. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you. We've got a lot of show coming up. We have to give you a little message here, and then we're coming back with fun stuff because that's what we do. And isn't fun the best thing to have,
Mike,
in the world?
It is the best thing.
But first, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, it's one last show. One last cruise, one hell of a send-off. That's right. And when we say send-off, when the show's over, I am jumping off the ship into the ocean.
No, you can't do that, Mike. We need you. We need you to do the new stuff.
Before we head off into the sunset, the Mike O'Mara Show is heading out to sea. I hate this music.
Mike, this is new. We've not played this one yet. This is Sailing by Christopher Cross.
This time we're making history. Join us January 21st through the 25th as we sail from Tampa to Cozumel for 4 days of sun, fun, meet and greet, swag, and the final episode of the Mike O'Mara Show podcast, recorded live with you in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just another cruise. It's the show's last hoorah, and we want you there with us. Get the details at tmospodcast.com.
At least it's not for me.
Or call 800-814-7000. 7100 and use group code 4435. Be sure to tell them you're with the TMOS group. Book today to lock in your price. One last voyage, one last show, one last chance to do it together. Let's go out in style. Really want to pack the boat with our peoples. So really, make time. We're giving you plenty of lead time here. It's in January. You know, come on now. Join us now.
Josh, now that we're playing Christopher Cross from his hit album Sailing, do you know why Christopher Cross was not pictured on his first album?
Because he's too ugly.
That's exactly right. Must feel good. Josh, huh?
Very good. Excellent job today.
Yes, good. You're banging on all eight. Orioles won by 12 last night.
All right, I teased this a little bit. A classic Bavarian sport.
Yes.
And before we get to that, no, I want to just do the Bavarian sport. Okay. I was going to, Josh, is there much significant information about the new iPhone that's coming out? I don't want to give them a commercial
No, they haven't officially announced it. They leaked it, that it'll be a flip phone, and it'll cost between $2,000 and $3,000.
Holy shit.
It's like buying a car.
I mean, we'll find out next month when they actually announce it, but really, that's all the rumors.
F them. Let's talk about Bavaria.
Yes. Mike, place. If a man in Lederhosen were to come up to you and say, pull my finger, what would you think?
I'd say, not again, Rob.
No, literally, a man in Lederhosen comes to you and not in a hateful way, shows you his middle finger. It's not the chicken dance, Mike. Let us go now to, and I want to get the name of the region right, because, you know, Bavaria encompasses many regions.
Yes. And by the way, if you're going to do the young Frankenstein pronunciation, it's Bavaria.
Bavaria. Thank you. Pflugdorfstadtl is where this competition is.
Can you give that to me again, please?
Pflugdorfstadtl.
Pflugdorfstadtl.
And, Mike, the Americanization of it is called finger wrestling.
Oh, okay.
So,
those are some big German boys.
Yeah. Yes. Now look. They put a leather loop around their two middle fingers and pull.
I would imagine it could result in a serious injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of hurt.
Very much so.
Die Schmerzen in die Finger. Das war der vorletzte Kampf.
I cut myself.
Ein bisschen länger, da war die Haut ganz runden gewesen. Aber da muss man trotzdem hegen und pflegen, weil dann gibt's Risse.
All right, let me translate, please. Okay. He says, the knuckling is dislocated and the blooding from the vessel in the finger ding.
Now, I know that a lot of people think that I've got stupidity running rampant throughout my body, but I still think it's funny to hear German people talk.
I do, too.
I don't know what it is.
I am with you, those wacky Germans.
It is a comical language. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the German.
Oh, there he is. That's the guy who's doing it. He's serious.
He is.
It's a serious business.
And I like some people are in Lederhosen, but some are just in German street clothes.
Don't you think body weight would have a little bit to do with it?
Huge.
And
here's Hans-Peter Reichardt. I bet his grandfather has some stories.
It's the coldness of the Germans. I don't care if he dislocates his finger. I would think there would be dislocations.
There would almost have to be.
Oh, out of the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Just a handshake.
Oh, so now it's classified by weight and age.
Oh, all right.
Oh, the music is great.
The leather straps, table size, and stool height. I missed that.
They're standardized.
They standardize them.
Okay, I think we've seen it all.
You know, I think that the young Germans are the scariest Germans.
Why,
you don't want just to taste more, Mike?
Why? Yeah, give me a little more.
Fingerhacken, sagt man ja, ist so.
There's the young German again.
16. Jahrhundert hat man es vielleicht das erste Mal erwähnt.
He's the chairman of the organization.
Es ist früher eher hergenommen worden, dass die Männer die wo vielleicht einen Streit gehabt haben.
I find myself as I'm watching this.
Yeah.
I find myself just curious about the rules, because it seems to me the leverage is gained by putting the legs up.
Yeah.
The table is wobbly and the chairs are wobbly. So,
but standardized.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna have to get those standards before January.
Yeah, I
because
agree.
We will do that on the cruise.
Hare Vastrick and Hare Amato are going to be our finalists.
Are we going to have Frau Bailey? That's all. Frau Bailey und Frau White.
So that's what's going on. That's what's going on in Austria and Bavaria, Mike.
Hare Amato? And, I was going to say Murphy.
He's in his own division.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll come back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. But first, I want to tell you about Amazon. Let's talk about something you're probably going to do anyway. Buy mountains of crap on Amazon, just like I do. Where do you think I got my shelving for my garage? Where do you think I got my nose hair and ear trimmer that finally gave up the ghost?
Where did you get your festive German suspenders that that fell off your shoulders when you were pulling on the
Amazon
finger?
Always.
Yeah, of course.
Dog food, Amazon, phone chargers, coffee, toilet paper, some weird PG-13 rated gadget you saw at 1:30 in the morning and suddenly decided you couldn't live without it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, before you Amazon, come see us first. Head to TMOSpodcast.com, hit our Amazon link, and then shop exactly like you always do. Same Amazon, same Prime, same prizes. But when you start with our link, your shopping helps support the show, and it doesn't cost you one red cent extra. Our Amazon link is also waiting for you on the new TMOS app, conveniently located right there on your smartphone. Dumb phones need not apply. So buy what you need, buy what you want. Buy something completely ridiculous. Just make sure you start at TMOSpodcast.com. You shop, Amazon pays us. Everybody wins. We're obliged to ye. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a phrase you don't hear anymore. I'm obliged to you.
Yeah.
It's like an old Western thing.
I wanted to talk about this thing that Carla sent me, this pretty heavy duty stuff. You know, we hear about it all the time, don't we? We hear about human trafficking. You hear about this area guards against human trafficking, this restaurant, this particular place. I want to bring this to your attention here that this happened. I'm trying to see where it happened. Hold on just a second.
It's funny you would bring it up because. Actually, human trafficking is on my mind, and I imagine for Josh as well. When you start driving for Uber, you have to take a couple of online classes, and some of them are very simple. Like, you know, don't ask people what they're doing. Don't get too personal with the driver, the people that are riding in your car. Obey all traffic stuff. But one of them are ways to spot human trafficking. And they've actually formed an alliance with an human trafficking organization where you can report suspected human trafficking right from your phone during the ride. You just mash down on a button and it brings it to their attention. So, I mean, if it's gotten to that level, I mean, that's a company that is really prioritizing the trouble that we are facing.
Yeah, and Florida's been very heavy on this with a whole, like, operation and they're constantly announcing.
I guess it's an entry point, Josh, primarily. That's why Florida
that makes
gets involved.
Sense.
Yeah.
Authorities have recovered 163 missing children. I'm stunned by this. Age range 2 months to 17 years. This was part of a five-day multi-agency operation that stretched across five continents. Mm-hmm. According to Fox News, Attorney General James Uthmeyer announced the results Tuesday, calling Operation Statewide Shield the first statewide child recovery initiative in Florida and the largest operation of its kind in the state's history. Florida law enforcement agencies worked with federal and international partners during the operation in mid-August to locate children reported missing or endangered. According to the office, the children were found in a range of circumstances. Some were runaways. Others had been abandoned, neglected, or abused. Some were also identified as victims of trafficking. Many of these kids have been victimized by those who prey on the most vulnerable. Are we talking, is this sexual abuse that we're talking about?
I think a lot of times it is kids that have run away and they're forced into prostitution and sexual abuse. And it is, you know, anytime you've got any person taking advantage of another person, it's horrifying. But when it's a kid, that is so sinister.
The children, and let me go back to the number here.
Yeah.
We're talking 163 kids. The children were recovered in Florida, seven other states, as well as Puerto Rico, Canada, Colombia, Dominica, Finland, Ghana, Guatemala, Italy, Jamaica, Mexico, Spain, Taiwan. Three men have been arrested in connection with the cases uncovered during the operation. Michael Prescott, oh, they do have the name here, was arrested August 21st by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. He faces three counts of lewd and lascivious acts with a minor. So there it is. That's all you need to know. Let's see. Along with felony, battery, and aggravated. Yeah. It's not describable how the punishment. I mean, I think it ought to be swift.
It should be double. Right. Yeah.
And they said the recoveries, it was all over the state. 46 in Tampa, 41 in Miami, 32 in Jacksonville, and 3 in Tallahassee.
Wow. You know, when you think about the numbers and you think about, say, a number of 46, do you think that... All I get it from is like shows like Taken with Liam Neeson, where you go to one of these flop houses and it's, I don't know enough about it. Jaden Allen Harwood was arrested on charges of interference in a child custody case and resisting officers without violence. Many more investigations have been started. According to Uthmeil's office, more arrests are expected. After children were located, officers transported them to designated hubs where they received assistance from social service workers, child welfare professionals, medical providers, and victim advocates. Some children were reunited with their families. God almighty, what would that be like?
Mike, this is what essentially Uber has taught their drivers to look for, is when you have someone in your car, look for someone who has a lack of control, like if they're with someone who speaks for them or holds their ID or their money, signs of abuse like injuries, fear, or severe anxiety, age discrepancies, young children or teenagers traveling alone under suspicious circumstances, and inappropriate attire. If you see someone who has dressed something that doesn't match the weather or seems overly revealing
or perhaps not appropriate to the age.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so if there's immediate danger,
sick motherfuckers,
they say do not intervene directly. Call 911. But this is valuable. If you see this in your daily life and, you know, there's no chance, there's no sense in the fact that we should ignore it. I mean, we all could see it. Call the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and that's 1-888-373-7888. And that's 1-888-373-7888. And even if you suspect it, I mean, be wrong on the side of safety. It's just a horrible thing.
It says this 163 kids, some of them were runaways, some were custody abductions, some were trafficking victims, and some were just straight kidnappings.
So when you say, but the groups of like 46, I would imagine, had to be involved. Like when they get 46 kids in one spot? That's what I'm trying to figure out, right?
I don't think it was 46 kids. Like they opened up a house and it was just full of kids.
I think it was a bunch of different. They added them together in a particular area.
I'm sure there's like a community of people because I would guess that when they find a runaway, that's when a lot of times the trafficking, the literal trafficking would start. And I'm sure that they have underground dark networks for the people that are looking for this. So if you can crack that code, that probably led them to multiple arrests, which is great.
Okay. Now let's cleanse the palate a little bit with that. And if you know, as Rob mentioned, if you're aware of any of that or something's kinky, you're in a neighborhood and something doesn't look right to you, you know, please.
Step in.
That's how you get involved with this. I want to hear about your new food hero. I'm excited about
you're
that.
You're going to like this guy, Mike. You know, we all have our different metrics that we get on social media, and my algorithm has a lot to do with food. And this actually said, hot blonde goes to Asian buffet. And I said, I'll click on that because I like food, and who doesn't like a hot blonde? It was misleading because this guy has
What's her name again? Misleading?
No, Mike, it's not a girl at all. It's a guy. And his subject, his page is called Mullet Review. And it sort of speaks for itself. I think you will enjoy some of his videography work.
It's day 64 of eating at every Chinese buffet I can until I get food poisoning. And today we're at the Asian buffet in Lima, Ohio. And this one has 2.5 stars.
Look at his outfit, for one thing. He's got his slides on for his feet.
Have I spoken to you about the buffet that's next door to my barber shop?
No.
So when you go into this strip mall, the strip mall has, you know, you take the, it's got the end unit. And so that's where the barber shop is, kind of back on a side side driveway.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you go down the line with like the department stores and that type of thing. So the buffet has a storefront for the main strip mall,
right.
But then the side unit not only has my barbershop, but immediately to the right of this, I think there's a UPS store in between.
Sure.
There is essentially a back door.
Look out.
To the Chinese buffet. And I have
Can you access the buffet from the front and the back door is an option?
It looks to me like, as opposed to they should have a different back door. This is a side door that looks like it should be at the back of the restaurant.
Okay.
It's this floppy screen door, and there are always these guys smoking outside.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? If you don't want smoke in your restaurant, smoke outside of the restaurant by a screen door.
The door is so gross. It is so filthy dirty, and the windows next to it's just, it's nasty. But anyway, go ahead with this.
Well, remember, he found out this buffet has 2.5 stars. And so let's go back to him.
They're delivering with that DoorDash. This buffet cost me $31.
31 bucks?
For two.
Oh, for two.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he's gross.
For two people.
And it's a Chinese buffet.
Get that quality taco.
What is the bread? Is that garlic?
I'm
going
to need a referee on this to make sure this is a taco. If anything, it looked like a miniature burrito. Is this regulation, you think?
He's eating at the buffet.
This is awful.
I mean, actually,
that burrito was sweet. It had no beef in it. I have no clue what's in there. Like crab or something? Like crab and bread? Horrible. Crab rangoons. I'm familiar with this shape, but they don't look filled. We'll see if we're gooning, boys.
The bathroom.
I like the style.
They're doing fucking exorcisms in here, man.
I don't even know what the fuck's going on anymore, dude. This place is stressing me the
corn
fuck out.
Corn soaking in milk.
Like, is that fucking milk or something? Like, just seeing this shit makes me not want to do this anymore. It's just stressing me the fuck out. Yeah. What is this cheese? It looks radioactive.
Is that a mussel?
Oh, they're cheese-covered
plate
mussels.
Number one.
And, Mike, this is a Chinese buffet.
We got the milk corn.
Milk corn.
It just needs to be cooked a little longer.
Oh,
it's very
God,
sweet.
That's nasty.
Well, I got this crab rangoon.
Yeah.
He's gross, too.
He is.
I'm gooning. Not 9 to 5, but maybe like 9 to 2. I got the cheese mussel.
Cheese mussel?
I'm going to throw up. Oh.
It's sad.
Oh, it's so horrible.
That wasn't cheese.
Oh, no.
It was mayonnaise.
Oh, no.
Why y'all do this to me, dude?
Anyway, you can follow him. His name is it's Mullet Reviews, and it will say hot blonde, but he ain't no blonde.
That's the best moment. It wasn't cheese. It was mayonnaise.
You know what? Is there anything better than a spontaneously organic happening gag?
Oh, my God.
That's just so good.
All right, we got more beautiful video coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to ask you a question. There are two kinds of people in this world. People who have tried Jot hot wing sauce, and people who need to get their act together.
Yeah.
Which are you? That's the question. The Mike O'Mara Show has teamed up with Jimmy's Old Town Tavern to put some heat in your meat. Jimmy's award-winning Jot Hot is the real deal. The buffalo wing sauce that made Jimmy's famous, now available for your very own refrigerator. Just go to jimmystavern.com, click Jot Wing Sauce, and have a bottle headed your way. Wings, obviously. Burgers, absolutely. Chicken, hell yes! Straight from the bottle at 2 a.m. Yeah, just put it on your tongue.
Yeah.
That's between you and your God. Here's the beautiful part. Use code TMOS at checkout. Save a buck and support the show while you're at it. So get yourself some Jot Hot at jimmystavern.com. Jot Hot. Put some heat in your meat. All hail the king of the wings. And please, sauce responsibly. There you go.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, I get a chance to look at you a lot during the show, and sometimes you throw off a vibe. You look hungry. Are you hungry?
Not particularly, and at this time of the day, I usually am, but I'm not.
Mike,
no.
This will make you hungry.
Oh, good. Okay.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Steak and Eggs. Tonight, our special is 8 ounce smothered ribeye. Smothered with mushroom, bell pepper, and onion, with melted cheese, with potatoes, veggie, and bread, for only, you guessed it, $22.99. For additional $2, you could have a house
there,
salad.
There, now he shows his hand.
Your choice of dressing. Come see us and enjoy this meal.
Did right. you like when he was on Chips?
Eric Estrada.
It looks like him.
It's an Eric Estrada joke. Timely as today's headlines. I have to say this.
Yeah.
Between the mullet man and that other guy,
yeah.
I am still getting over the mayonnaise on top
the muscle.
Of a...
That's horrible.
It is beyond horrible to think that that's what they put on top of a muscle. But that guy, too, do you get the impression that they are trying to assist American dishes that don't
yeah.
need to be assisted?
For example,
the smothered
a ribeye
steak.
Is a, well, I mean, not just a smothered steak. A ribeye is a standalone steak. Cooked mm-hmm. properly, it's one of the finest steaks you can get.
Let me give
and
you
an
example.
And he's got all that crap on it.
I'm going to give you an example. There is, as I've mentioned before, there's a very exclusive restaurant. Tough to get a table. I am connected, so I get in there. And I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, my God. I'm on a waiting list there. I'm on standby. Yeah. They call mm-hmm. me if they can fit me in.
Yeah. yeah
it's, they dance there.
They do some dancing. And there's
they've got cold salads.
Give me a nice piece of meat and don't fuck with it. That's
yeah, you're
kind
right.
of what
you're exactly
I
right.
like in my steak.
Now, if you want to smother like some ground beef that you've sautéed up and juice it up with some onions and peppers, that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a hamburger. So
that
you can
is,
just put
exactly.
that between two slices of bread. You know,
or two
really,
pillows.
Can I give one of my favorite joints a little plug here?
Yeah, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're ever in downtown Fort Myers, might I suggest Buckets?
That's Buckets. The second time you brought it up today, Mike.
Because there we have a go-to
mm-hmm.
That we dine frequently at Buckets because it's so cost-effective, and this is what they offer. 5 wings. If you now you might say, well, those aren't that's not enough wings for me. Mm-hmm. If you eat at a nice pace and you have the 5 wings with the now yesterday I added to the order.
Oh,
I had the 5 wings, the shoestring fries that are, in my opinion, some of the finest French fries you will ever get, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I am not exaggerating here. And then I added the celery. You have to ask. You have to ask.
Is
for
it
the
an
celery.
Upcharge, or do you just have to ask?
You know, I'd have to. Carla paid the bill.
I bet Carla always, knows.
As she always does yeah. now.
We're probably just tired of throwing it out.
It was really fresh and cold.
So you don't think it was rescued and rinsed from another plate?
No, that would be the buffet next to the barbershop. I digress. Go ahead.
Right.
I didn't mean to interrupt
Mike,
you.
Do you ever have a traffic nightmare? I'd say the biggest traffic nightmare is when you're on deadline to get somewhere and traffic is thick and there's no way around it. That, to me, is a traffic nightmare.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Not according to this ad.
I recommend everyone get one, no matter if you have a lot of money or not. If you've ever been stuck in traffic with no bathroom nearby, you know
disturbing.
How uncomfortable that feeling is.
It gets worse.
This is made specifically for real emergencies. Just extend it when you need it and collapse it after.
It's a collapsible tube, essentially, that you
pee in. It's like a repurposed thing. That wasn't designed for this device.
No, no, no. It looks like something you would just get at a hardware store to vent hot air.
It's a funnel on top of that collapsible pipe.
I have a water bottle that looks just like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a water bottle.
Have you ever been on the road? Have you ever peed on the road? Either one of you?
Hasn't everyone?
I haven't.
I thought you've
never peed like had to go so bad that you peed in a bottle?
No, I've pulled over and peed on the side of the road, but I've never peed in a bottle.
I don't know. I think I have. I'm pretty sure I have.
I've done the bottle.
Well, I've done the bottle. I did the bottle at the Kennedy Center once because I didn't want to miss the show.
He's late. I did it in a bottle, but here's the problem. It was one of those little airline booze bottles.
Oh, how many did you fill?
Just one. I've got a bladder problem.
Right. Mike, the grossest thing about this is yet to come.
Easy to store and holds a lot. The seal is tight, gross. So there's no leaking at all.
But wait.
It's unisex, so both men women can use it. Perfect for road trips, long drives, or unexpected situations. Honestly, it's one of those things you don't think about until
he puts it in the cup holder. Don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
Don't do that.
All the time in the car now.
Yeah, I know. It's very true. I don't take my Lasix on days I drive Uber.
Oh my God! Yeah, hit the like button, Nodak. I appreciate it.
Let's close with this, Mike. Do you ever take the news on? I want to get the call letters right. It's WBAI. No, WABI. Channel 5 in Bangor, Maine.
Oh, that one. Now, you know what? I normally do the shtick, right?
Right, but I really wanted you to know.
I have viewed, I think it's Channel 5 or 7.
It's 5.
Is it Channel 5?
In Bangor,
WABI is, I've watched that. It's out of Bangor on a regular basis. And I think back in the day, they used to have Stacy's Country Jamboree on Channel 5 in Bangor.
Oh, we've talked about that.
Dick Stacy. I'm Dick Stacy, and by golly, these tires are priced to sell. He's dead now, Rob.
Yeah. What they have instead of Dick Stacy now is a weatherman, maybe even a meteorologist. His name is Patrick Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
And
the finest talent in America.
We're going to close with this. He does not have an air of, how shall I say, professionalism. Let us say you were taking the news because you wanted to know the weather. This would just piss you off.
Resulting in the chance for some heavier precipitation, a few bands of storms in some spots. We got to finish up this weather right now. I'm so sorry. I'm so blind over here. Plenty of the 70s, some low 80s in spots of Monday. I'm going to have to stop on screen. This happened before. Oh, jeez. All right, let me get it together real quick. I'm so sorry. Your boy is totally falling off.
And no help in sight.
Different story, a little cooler.
Oh my God.
I'm in the 70s. John, please take it. Whatever happened to professionalism, Patrick?
The backstory is that the weatherman, got together with the producer to prank the anchor by playing some funny audio in his IFB while he was reading.
You mean the weatherman was playing audio?
Was actually pranking the anchor, but what happened is the audio that they were playing off YouTube was really long. No one hit stop. And after a prolonged silence, it came back into the IFB in his own ear.
I love that.
He made himself laugh with that. But that's what happens. And Mike, as I said, partly cloudy and getting cooler.
That is awesome.
I'm proud that
came from Bangor, Maine. That's right. That's, up where all that good stuff is, all that good seafood, you know. And, by the way, I called my sister the other day and I said, looking forward, didn't make it up this summer, but we'll get together at Christmas time when we come up there. I said, we're going to Puerto Rico.
Oh, how nice.
I said, oh,
well,
sorry.
That'll make it easier, Mike, as you said, that when you go up for Christmas, you have to see the family and check that box off.
Yeah, it looks like we're staying home.
That's right. Meanwhile, she's at Fiesta.
It's going to be a Florida Christmas. Yeah! That's it. We got to get out of here. We got a good bonus show coming up, and Josh and Rob are going to be back tomorrow with Still Talking.
Yes.
No, are we calling it that now, or do whatever the hell you want.
Tomorrow is technically a jar show.
Yeah.
As we warm up to Still Talking.
Jar show? How dare you?
No, Josh and Rob. Jar.
Oh, okay. A jar show. You sure? You really might want to rethink that,
Mike.
The jar show.
Easy to remember for our fans. The jar.
You know,
heads.
You above all other people. The jar show. Come on.
There's a reason that's not the name of the new podcast.
Yeah, this was just we're just bouncing ideas around.
I get jokes. We got to get out of here. We'll see you next time. For Josh Sirokin, Rob Spiewak, this is Michael Vera saying so long, everybody.
Jars. I love you, Jars. Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Meara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
You can't keep getting away with it! You can't keep getting away with it!
It's a mess. Glass and poop everywhere.
And remember, we're not happy until you're not happy.